WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Jake Riker and Lincoln Burkholder. On today's episode, we're going to get you ready for Week 6 of Fantasy Football. We're going to kick it off with our weekly recap, including top performers, biggest surprises, and biggest busts. Then, we'll dive into our top players and predictions for the Thursday night football game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. Then, we're going to get into our must-start and must-sit players for Week 6. And finally, our favorite segment, Panic or Pause. Full squad this week. It's been slim pickings for a little bit, but we're back. So, let's get into it with our top performers.
All right, Jake, you're back this week. Go ahead, start it off. Just like old times.
I'm so confused with the text you just sent me.
Yeah, last week it was...
For the people on air last week, with a headset in the radio station wasn't working. So for the first about 15 minutes of the show, we weren't sure if we were even on it.
I had to text Alex and ask him to tune in the radio to see if we were on.
We were trying to not mention the problem on air.
We sat in silence for a little bit. Yeah, it was scary last week.
All right.
We're good.
Fix the headset.
Week five. It was week five, right? Yeah, top performance.
Yeah, we already in week five.
That's crazy. My first top performer is a guy that absolutely cooked me on Thursday Night Football. Great Thursday Night Football game, by the way, in Atlanta.
Went to OT. Unfortunately, Al Michaels was commentating.
Always unfortunate.
That is unfortunate. I got the wide receiver one for the Falcons, Drake London.
Yep.
He had the game that I think a lot of people that drafted Drake London were looking forward to. Not that he's been bad this year, but there was a lot of hype surrounding Drake London since he finally got a quarterback. He dropped 33.4 in PPR leagues, got 12 catches, 154 yards, and found the end zone. That's amazing to see from Drake London. I don't have Drake London in any leagues, which is really sad because I wanted to, but unfortunately, it's not how it lined up. But I saw something that this week Atlanta put London in the slot on like 60% of his routes instead of being on the outside, and clearly that works.
It's great.
Drake London needs to be there more because not only do the Falcons look good, but obviously he looks good in fantasy too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see them beating the Bucks on Thursday, but they sure did. The OT coin toss definitely helped a little bit, but
probably because I picked the Buccaneers to win.
Yeah, I was trying to go through our records.
I'm still undefeated.
I picked Atlanta.
Are you actually undefeated?
Yeah.
So you're what, 4-0?
Yeah, I'm undefeated right now.
I think
now.
I'm cooked at this. I'm pretty sure I'm 1-1-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 1-2.
So I've picked every Thursday night game right.
You're 1-1.
I'm 1-2.
I missed a week. I missed last week.
Missed a week.
Oh, right.
I missed like week two.
Me and Lincoln are both 1-2, and Jamie's 4-0.
Actually, I missed week one, like the pre, or week two. Week two.
So you're 1-1?
1-2.
Right.
I picked the Jets two weeks ago or three weeks ago.
Yeah, I picked the Jets too. That's the only one.
What a shame.
Because I had the
Dolphins. No, I picked the Dolphins, but then Tua got hurt.
Yeah.
So what was your win, the Jets?
That was
my win too.
It was Cowboys-Giants was my win.
Oh, you picked the...
I picked the Cowboys. They won 20-14.
No, you picked the Patriots to beat the Jets?
I wasn't here for that week.
Oh, I'm slow.
Yeah. I would have picked the Jets, so I would be 1-3. Like, I'll be honest. There's no way I was picking the Patriots, but...
Well, shoot.
What a horrible game for Brees Hall that was, might I add.
For real.
Yeah.
It's been bad.
It's been rough. Hopefully I can get it right this week.
Now we're on track for...
It's
for
a tough pick
so
this week.
We're going to see who's going to...
Yeah, obviously Drake London was on my top performers list as well. I kind of want to talk about that Atlanta offense a little bit, so I'll just make my first top performer his quarterback. Kirk Cousins had 34.36 fantasy points on Thursday night. With Matt Ryan in the building, he broke Matt Ryan's single-season passing yards or single-game passing yards record in Atlanta. And I don't think this is a fluke. In Kirk Cousins' offense in the past, whether it was Washington or Minnesota, they were always pass heavy. They did not run the ball that often. Kirk Cousins likes to throw it. And this offense has found better results when he's throwing the ball a lot. He threw the ball 58 times on Thursday night. Obviously, 509 yards. There's a lot of targets to go around. That whole offense is going to be great in fantasy the rest of the season. I think the schedule's not anything to worry about either. It's Atlanta. They play in the NFC South, so not a lot of great defenses down there, and they get Carolina this week. So all those guys, Kirk Cousins, Drake London, Darnell Mooney,
he went
crazy. Even Kyle Pitts had a day. That's a great offense to have a piece of in fantasy, but Drake London and Kirk Cousins are definitely right now the two best from this past week.
For sure. My top performer this week was the current wide receiver one in fantasy football, and overall the top fantasy football scorer this week, and that is Cincinnati Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase.
He is so good, man.
41.3 fantasy points this week. I mean, that's like almost a Juwan Jennings stat line. So, I mean, good for Ja'Marr against Baltimore. He saw 10 receptions on 12 targets for 193 yards and two touchdowns. Chase is just a big play guy. And Joe Burrow is going to sling that ball whenever he wants to. Burrow was slinging it this week. T. Higgins had a big game. Chase Brown had a big game. Bengals overall had a great game, but they still lost because Lamar Jackson was on something in that game. So despite that, Ja'Marr Chase was incredible this week. He's the wide receiver one, and I would expect for things to stay that way as long as Joe Burrow stays healthy.
He looks like just about the only guy that Burrow trusts right now.
Yeah.
It didn't even look like he trusted T. Higgins. Granted, he missed like all of camp.
Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, I'm still yawning because when it mattered the most, Ja'Marr Chase got
locked.
Marlon Humphrey.
He did get strapped, unfortunately, by Marlon.
So
waning seconds.
They can cry me a river in Cincinnati. Anyway, talking about Cincinnati in that game. I mean, that game was a phenomenal overtime thriller down in Ohio. But my second top performer is a little combination. I got two combinations this week. I was feeling a little fun.
Ooh.
But I got Burrow and Lamar combined. Those two had 33.78 and 33.42.
Wow.
They had 9 touchdowns combined on Sunday, all of them throwing. Lamar didn't have any rushing. That was all up to the King, who had 1, I believe. King Henry had 1 touchdown.
When does he not have a touchdown?
But those two just looked, I mean, at the end of the game, when both teams needed to score, like a team would extend it to 10, and then the other team would just like knock it back down to single digits, and then like vice versa in the first half too. I mean, it was just phenomenal offensive play, starting with the two quarterbacks for both those teams. So Burrow and Lamar are my top performer for week 5.
All right, I'll get into another guy here. He's been a little disappointing this season, as has his team. They've been in the headlines in the previous 24 hours. It's Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
Definitely went off on Sunday. 13 catches on, wait for it, 22 targets.
Wow. Jeez.
I should have traded for him.
101 yards and a touchdown. The efficiency is not really there, 7.8 yards per catch, but oh my, the volume is 22 is the second. And actually, I don't know if it's higher than Cooper Kupp's week 1 total, but it's the highest. I think it's the highest that we've seen all year. He translated that into 29.1 fantasy points. And the headlines for the last 24 hours were the Jets head coach Robert Saleh is no longer the head coach. He was holding back that offense. It was pretty noticeable. But
RIP.
They still haven't fired Nathaniel Hackett. So the offense will continue to be mediocre for as long as he's calling the plays, which I'm assuming will be the case now. I don't love Garrett Wilson rest of the season, even though he went off this week, but he does make the top performers list for week 5. If he gets 22 targets a week, I do love him rest of the season.
I'm saying if anybody's getting that kind of volume, I'll take
you
that
could
any day of the week.
You could give Jamison Crowder 22 targets a week right now. He'd be fantasy relevant.
I like that poll. Jamison Crowder, okay. Washington, shout out Pierre Garçon too. My next top performer, DeAndre Swift. He's been turning up this year. Yeah. Not really this year.
We hated on him so much. He just turned
into. I noticed
into,
that as soon as we like just absolutely crapped on, he dropped like 29 back.
It just looks like Walter.
Yeah, he had 29 week 4 against the Rams, and this week he was the RB2 with only 20 points. It was a pretty slow week for the running backs, but despite that, DeAndre Swift saw 21 carries, which was a season high, for 73 yards and a touchdown. And then also through the air, he saw 2 catches for 47 yards. Shout out Roshan Johnson, because he stole a goal line touchdown away from him, which was pretty sad because I have Swift in fantasy and I probably would have won my game if Swift would have gotten that carry. So regardless, Swift still the RB2 this week, and things are looking up for the guy who was really struggling those first 3 weeks. He has another favorable matchup this week against Jacksonville, so DeAndre Swift owners, turn up, because it's looking like our guy is finally back on track. So now, let's move to biggest surprise or biggest bust. I was getting confused. What do y'all want to do?
I'm going to go surprises.
We'll stay positive. We'll go surprises.
Yeah, I like it. So this is where my other dual talking point comes in. I got my biggest surprise of the week. I'm just going back to that Thursday night game because I was in love with that Thursday night football game, just watching that NFC South.
Just great football.
It was. It really was. But I got the kicker duel was my biggest surprise.
Chase McLaughlin. He's been nailed this season.
Yeah, he is.
He's averaging like 14 fantasy
Dropped
points
16
a game.
And Younghoe Koo dropped 17. I mean,
and he missed one.
Yeah.
Younghoe Koo missed one. A field goal in that game.
So that, I mean, that was a surprise for me. I mean, I don't really know why. I just wanted to have a little bit of fun and switch it up. But those two kickers were just dialed on that Thursday night game. And Koo dropped like a 56-yarder or something to send it to OT.
22 if he made that.
So, yeah, that was fun for me to watch. I just can't get over that game.
Love some kicker love.
Yeah, so I'll start. We'll stick on that Thursday night game. I'll talk about Darnell Mooney, who I mentioned a little bit earlier talking about the Falcons offense. He is now solidly the second option in Atlanta, it looks like, in the passing game. He had 16 targets on Thursday. He actually led the team in targets. It was more than Drake London had. He had 9 catches, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Numbers would have been slightly better had he caught a massive 3rd and 20 that hit him in the stomach and went to the turf.
That's hilarious.
But nonetheless, he scored 31.5 fantasy points in the Falcons win, and the targets are there. It was 8 in week 3, 6 in week 4, obviously 16 in week 5. You're not going to see that every week. Game was a little bit of an outlier. But definitely the wide receiver 2 in Atlanta, definitely a new, like a good vibe for him, a good match. He's fitting in well, and I expect wide receiver 2 to 3 production down the line, but he was definitely a big surprise this week. I didn't expect that much from him. 2 touchdowns is the main surprise. He's not
big
really
dog.
A red zone threat.
My next biggest surprise, or my first biggest surprise, is actually the RB1. I knew I was just talking about DeAndre Swift being the RB2, but that was because the RB1 caught me completely off guard, and that is Tank Bigsby, the quote-unquote backup running back in Jacksonville, completely taking Travis Etienne's job. I mean, with the way that Bigsby played, 13 carries, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground to go, along with 1 catch for 28 yards through the air. Bigsby, with Travis Etienne looking to be injured, has really capitalized on his opportunities. Last week, he also had 90 yards on 7 carries. So when he gets the volume, he gets the yards. Also, week 1, 12 carries for 73 yards. It's there for Tank Bigsby. And right now, it's looking like a Bucky Irving situation where we're having the young guy kind of take away the starting RB spot. So Bigsby, if he's sitting on waivers still somehow, go get that man, because
just picked him up.
Yeah, that's smart, because Bigsby's looking like the RB1 in Jacksonville.
Unfortunately,
Jacksonville, I mean,
they got to win this week.
They got to win. They finally did it.
We
shout out Brian Thomas
all week last week.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we really,
that was who we were hating
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we were hating on Jacksonville bad last week. So
their whole offense was in the panic or pause segment.
Yeah, ETN. Yeah, we just talked about the Jags, but shout out Tank Bigsby, the unlikely hero, comes in to save the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, Jake.
I'll hop on to my I got too many. I'm praising too many Bengals on here. I don't really like it. My second biggest surprise was T. Higgins. I mean, he's been in my must start for the last couple weeks, so it's not that surprising, but the surprising part was that he almost dropped 30 points. He had 29.3, 9 catches, only had 83 yards, but he found the end zone twice. I mean, it's almost like inevitable when the Bengals are down in their end zone, they're going to score on like a slant route across the middle to somebody. And it happened to be Higgins twice.
Much like the 2 slant route touchdowns that Andre Yoshivas caught in his plays 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. The more I watch the Bengals play football, the more I am confused. It's like when you play that annoying guy in Madden.
Like, I know what they're calling.
Exactly.
I know what's coming. I'm watching Bengals football, and I know what's coming.
But, you know, it just somehow – I don't understand. But Higgins racked up a great week. I see that continuing just because, I mean, Burrow knows that the Bengals offense has to do everything they can to win football games right now. And
defense,
he's going to keep some of the
rocks.
And that's Higgins putting up 29 points with – Jamar Chase also putting up 40. So don't worry about one of them getting in the way of the other, because that clearly is not a problem in Cincinnati.
It is not, and there is only one wide receiver who gets the statistics and numbers in Jacksonville. We dunked on him a lot last week, so I'm going to give him even more praise right now. It's Brian Thomas Jr. He's been fantastic over the last 2 weeks, 20-plus points in both. He had 5 catches for 122 yards and a touchdown on Sunday against Indianapolis in the Jags' first win of the year. Trevor Lawrence looked good, finally. He was throwing the ball downfield into tight windows like we all know he can, but he hadn't been to start the year. Doug Peterson appears to want to keep his job. Thomas, 8 targets. He's had 9, 9, 8 in the last 3 weeks. I would sit him this week if you have him. I'll get to that later, though. Yep. But, yeah, 23 points. He's definitely wide receiver one in Jacksonville. Number one target, number one look, and he's a great red zone threat and great after the catch. I mean, 24 yards per catch can't really be beat.
Yeah.
So, Brian Thomas Jr., a great, great surprise this week.
Yeah, he's really – he's legit.
It's another LSU wide receiver, I might add.
I mean, a 6'3 dude that's running in the 4.3s, how could you let him fall that far? And Brian Thomas is going to be very, very
good in
this
league. Anyone who watched that tape knew he should not have fallen to pick 23,
no way.
I think he was.
Pretty sure that sounds right. But my biggest surprise, or at least my next one, is a guy that went off last week in back-to-back games for Tucker Kraft at the tight end position.
What a guy.
I mean, who would have thought? Everybody thought Mr. Musgrave was the tight end one in Green Bay, but that is just not the case. Because last week, I'm pretty sure he was the tight end one with 17 points. But this week, he was tight end one once again with 24.8 points, getting four receptions on 5 targets for 88 yards and 2 touchdowns in the end zone.
That boy had a 66-yard screen pass. He is a tight end.
That should not be happening. That's what Kyle Pitts should be doing, because apparently he's like a receiver, but he doesn't do it. That's Tucker Kraft's job, apparently. So the overall tight end one this week came really out of left field, and that's another guy. If he's sitting on your waivers, go get him, because Tucker Kraft is clearly that dude. So now let's move on to some depressing segments busts.
Biggest busts. Who's here again? Let's find out.
Yeah.
All right. I'll start off with a running back that we touched on earlier, right before we went on air. Actually, no, I think we were on air too. That's Breece Hall. He had another week under 10 points. He only had 6.7. Things are starting to look scary over in New York. I don't know where it's going to play. Like Lincoln said, they've been in the news. They lost their coach out of nowhere. It seems like nobody really saw it coming either. Which is
he did need to be fired.
Odd to me.
For what it's worth.
But Breece Hall was picked at like 2 or 3 or 4, like top 5 in pretty much every single fantasy league. And if that guy is getting me 3 points or 6 points a week, I'd be pretty upset. So let's hope that doesn't continue for Breece.
Yep, and I will move on to New Orleans. And Chris Olave on Monday Night Football. If you needed a Monday Night miracle from him, you got a Monday Night nightmare.
Melancholy.
A Monday Night mishap.
Yeah, there you go.
2 catches on 4 targets, 10 yards. That's it. Just 3 fantasy points for Chris Olave. Coming off 2 weeks in a row where he scored 20 and then 16. The targets have been there for the most part. They weren't there last week. Now, granted, it was Kansas City, whose defense is incredible, and he was being shadowed by Trent McDuffie all game, who is also incredible. But I'm worried for Chris Olave now. I wasn't worried prior, but with Derek Carr now out, Spencer Rattler under center in this coming week against Tampa Bay, it was a bad week, but I think it could be a bad stretch here, and he will be facing Pat Surtain in week 7.
Don't like that.
Yeah, it's not looking great, at least until Derek Carr comes back, because Carr does feed him a solid amount. So, but he makes the bus list this week for the first time in a while.
My weekend in football has been truly awful. I will just say that. Both my fantasy teams lost. Alabama lost, and the 49ers lost. And that was thanks in part to Mr. Deebo Samuel Sr. Now, I lost my fantasy game because of him, and
get
the 49ers also
lost.
Get
Junior on the field. Maybe he'll get some yards.
Yeah, we'll get Tyshawn Samuel Jr. out there. Whatever. He might be better than Deebo right now, because Deebo, 3 targets, 1 reception, 11 yards, 3 points.
Yikes.
Also, 3 carries for 9 yards. That is not the Deebo Samuel I'm used to watching. He had been pretty solid the first 2 weeks. Then he gets that injury week 3. Week 4, he gets New England, only drops 10 points. I'll cut you some slack. You're facing Christian Gonzalez. But then week 5, you're looking at the Arizona secondary, and you're looking at that list of corners, and you're just saying, who, all those who's locked up Deebo Samuel. So, Debo, I am extremely disappointed with 3 points flat. And so things are ugly right now. Shout out Brandon Ayuk because he is no longer on this list. He went crazy. He's finally, you know, maybe worth $30 million a year.
All right. $30 million?
Yeah. But Debo Samuel just makes my week worse.
Do we want to go to break after that? I'm a little upset after that.
Yeah,
I felt
pain.
The pain in
There's a lot.
Do you just want to give two names, me and you?
There you go.
And then just send it to break.
That's good with me. I'm going to go with George Pickens because I need to hate on the AFC North team.
I'll go Marvin Harrison Jr. You beat San Francisco, but it wasn't because of him.
Oh, one more thing. Bijan Robinson, what's your problem, dude? 10 points? Come on. You also didn't help me this week. Okay, but that's it.
Tough football week for Jamie.
Definitely not good for me this week at all.
Football week for Jamie.
So maybe we need some tunes to kind of mellow the mood out.
You just need Bo Nix.
With that, we're going to be right back after a short intermission with our Thursday night football predictions. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa. You are listening to Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're back with our Thursday night football predictions between the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. So let's get into it. I've already been rough on my team already, so why not a little bit more? So, Jake, let's kick it off.
All right. So my Thursday night highest performance prediction is going to go to probably Jamie's least favorite player in the league. And I regretted putting his name down because I know Jamie hates him. But I just really couldn't see. I don't know. No other names were like popping out to me because Chris McCaffrey's in Germany or something. DK Metcalf.
I despise DK Metcalf.
I saw it coming. I put down 8 catches for 115 yards and he's going to find the end zone. It's probably going to be like a 60-yard bomb because that just kind of seems like a DK thing to do on prime time, especially in Seattle. That place is going to be rocking. They know San Fran's beat up.
And desperately needs a win. Seattle's playing for a division. They already have the division.
So I could see that definitely being like a game where the refs take control and they make San Francisco win because everyone wants to see them in the playoffs.
I don't.
Well, whatever. I'd rather them. I mean, people would rather watch them than Philadelphia.
We're tanking for Travis Hunter.
I definitely would rather watch them than Philadelphia.
Exactly. Unless you're in Philly and you're psychotic and watching your team lose to Francisco Lindor right now. sorry, I had to throw a baseball roast in there. Go Mets. Phillies are losing. They're done. Anyway, it's DK Metcalf for me.
Who do you have winning?
Oh, right. Our predictions that I'm doing so well in so far. I took Seattle, so 28-24. A little nervous because, you know, going 1-3 would suck. But I'm sorry, Jamie, but I got the Seahawks winning.
It is what it is.
I'll go mine. I got my top performer is a 49er. It's a tight end one this season. It's George Kittle.
Beast.
He's been a target monster so far this year, and he's hauling in most of them. He's obviously the red zone threat that we always knew he is. And I got him going 7 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown. That'd be 21.1 points, but I have the Seahawks pulling it out. I'm 1-2. Picking the favorite hasn't worked out too well for me, other than the Cowboys, who barely beat the Giants anyway. But Seahawks by 4, 21-17 at home.
Debo
Niners
Samuel
going to shambles at 2-4.
God, if that happens.
Oh boy.
If that happens, it's Luther Burden season in San Francisco.
Y'all get ready for the show next week if the Niners lose again.
Yeah. Debo Samuel senior.
Skip.
This place,
Jamie might burn down the radio station.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of panic buttons getting thrown around.
I'm kidding.
If the
He's
Niners
not gonna
lose.
Do that.
Yeah, please don't take that seriously. Please. Debo Samuel Sr., I know I just dragged you through the dirt. I know you're definitely listening to this because I told you to, but please make me eat my words, Debo. I have Debo Samuel as my top performer this week with 7 receptions for 81 yards, just like Lincoln had with George Kittle. That's fun. With a touchdown along with 5 rushes for 42 yards and a rushing touchdown for a grand total of 31.3 fantasy points.
You want him to make you eat your words? Wouldn't that mean that he would play horrible?
No. I don't know. I'm too confused right now with how football is making me feel. So, Deebo Samuel, I need an absolute nuclear game out of, and I'm trying to put it out into the earth. So, Deebo, please go crazy. I have him with 31.3 fantasy points, which is a lot, but it's a number that Deebo has reached many, many times before. So, I'm hoping with Tariq Woolen out that he can go out there without Devin Witherspoon on him and put some points up just like he knows how to do. And my undefeated record on the line in my Thursday night picks, I'm 4-0. I have the 49ers winning 31-27. And going 3-3 and being tied for first in the division, NFC mid, NFC West, very mid. So 49ers, I got him with the dub, trying to stay undefeated. Deebo Samuel, top player. So now, I believe it's panic or pause time.
What?
Is it panic or pause time?
We do that in the second segment?
Yes, we do. It is panic or pause time.
So my first guy is someone that I touched on a little bit earlier in the week five biggest bust. It's that running back over there for the New York Football Jets. How do we feel about Breece Hall? Back-to-back weeks under 7 points.
Breece Hall.
About that guy.
I'm gonna hit the pause button for Breece Hall right now. The first couple of weeks he was putting up very, very good numbers. I believe he had 26 points week one. And through the last couple of weeks, he's faced some very, very tough defenses. So shout out the Broncos. But I think once he gets back to playing those regular, you know, kind of middle of the pack defenses, when he starts getting back to playing like a New England type of team or Miami, once he gets back to playing those type of teams.
You're just tossing the Patriots through the mud.
I mean, the Patriots won't want. I think Breece Hall will be back to form sooner rather than later.
Rip Alex listening to this.
Yeah, if he is.
I'm going to text in 2 minutes.
Yeah. We were tearing into him last week, too, so hopefully he's used to it.
There's not much to do with the Patriots but tear into him.
Yeah, exactly.
They're starting Drake May.
Drake May's here.
Drake May, finally.
The prodigy.
Yeah, shout out Jalen Polk, Pop Douglas. They might get some catches. Gods,
they're finally benching Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, it's about time. So I'm gonna pause right now on Breece Hall. I think he'll be back to form.
Yeah, I got Breece Hall in a number of leagues, unfortunately. He's been bad the last 2 weeks. As Jamie mentioned, it started fine. He was 18-24-18 in PPR to start the year. It was San Fran, Tennessee, and New England that he played, and then Denver and Minnesota the last 2 weeks. To this point in the season, those are the two best defenses in football. Denver had him in an orange jumpsuit. He was basically in jail, 10 carries for 4 yards. Those are like NCAA 25 freshman difficulty numbers. But he was bad again last week, 2.6 yards per carry. But he gets Buffalo and Pittsburgh, so that's not fun. But then it's New England, Houston, Arizona, Indianapolis, Seattle, Miami, Jacksonville, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the schedule down the stretch is pretty easy. It's just the next 2 weeks you got to get through. I'd expect him to rebound. The talent's there. The Jets are going to have to use him. So I also think with a new head coach coming in, they might lean on him to start with less proven play callers available. So Breece Hall, I'm going to pause. I have to pause on him because I own him and so many leaks, but
I mean, I agree with both of you. I just wanted to throw his name out there, see if anybody was feeling a little.
He was on my list.
A panic push, but I'm gonna have to agree with pretty much everything both of you just said on Breece Hall. I mean, he's still a very talented back. He went top five for a reason in fantasy leagues. I agree with Lincoln with the new play calling. They're going to keep it simple. They're going to use their star running back, and they're going to use their star receiver, and it's going to be as simple as that. So he's going to get fed the ball. Breece Hall's going to be just fine, I hope.
All right. I'll get into my first panic or pause guy, and I'm going to choose this guy specifically because Jamie gets to talk first. We're going to talk about Bijan Robinson. Jamie, what do you think about Bijan Robinson, averaging 13.5 fantasy points per game through the first 5 weeks?
I was really big on Bijan Robinson going into the year. I was dead set on getting him with the third pick on our draft, and I was very happy with how my team looked going into the year. But Bijan Robinson has been quite disappointing, I will say. Just really mid, middle of the pack.
Super mid.
No 20-plus point games, but nothing less than 10. So he hasn't been bad, but he hasn't really been good enough to where he's won me any games. So Bijan has been disappointing, but I've looked at trades for him. It doesn't really look like anybody wants Bijan in a trade right now, which is really unfortunate. So this week he gets Carolina, which is a very favorable matchup, I would say. So if he's a bust once again this week and he doesn't crack like 20 against Carolina, then it's really time to panic on Bijan Robinson. So I'm going to give him a 1 week pause, but that's it. If he does not show me anything in this game against Carolina, I'm hitting my panic button, and I'm trying to trade him off my team as soon as possible.
Somebody will take him.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody will, and I could probably get a decent amount for him. But, I mean, for a guy that I spent my third pick on to be this, you know, mid so far has been pretty unfortunate. So I'm going to pause on him for 1 week. But if we're in this same conversation next week, then Bijan, I'm sorry. It might be a Tyler Allgeier season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to pause on Bijan too. I don't have him in any single league, so I don't have any word to panic about him. But the Falcons offense looked good, and I can't believe I just got to say that, which is it's awesome, though.
Really good.
And they're going to keep using their star guys, and Bijan Robinson, point blank period, is a star in that backfield. His raw talent and work ethic, I mean, obviously you can't just get here to how good he is with just raw talent. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mean to just say that, but they're gonna start to feed him. Drake London is gonna do great things, but I also don't think he's gonna score 34 points a week. If you take a couple of those targets down, get Drake London down to like 7-8 catches a week, someone's got to fill that, and I don't think it's Darnell Mooney. I think it's gonna be Bijan in the run game and in the receiving game too.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I will. Wanted to throw his name out there, but I'll agree with y'all. Pause. He's got a pretty easy schedule coming up: Carolina, Seattle, Tampa Bay, Dallas, and then he gets New Orleans and Denver, unfortunately, prior to his Week 12 bye. But the touches, they're not what like you'd want for Bijan Robinson. Only 15 last week, 11 the week before, 18. The number has stayed relatively close to 20 and below it for the last couple weeks, but obviously hasn't been a complete disappointment. He hasn't been a failure in fantasy, but going to need a big week from him against Carolina. Atlanta should go up early, and he should be able to run the ball. But my biggest thing with Bijan is the panic button is going to get a lot closer to my hand if he doesn't start scoring touchdowns soon.
Yeah.
He's only got one touchdown on the season. That offense scores points. Shoot, Darnell Mooney had two last week. I don't even know if Darnell Mooney had two touchdowns last year. But like inside the 5-yard line, like I need to see Bijan Robinson getting the ball, and I'm just not right now. I'm seeing Tyler Allgeier get the ball, which
makes
is
me
not
mad.
Good for Bijan Robinson's fantasy production. But he'll be a consistent floor in PPR, at least, even if he's not playing to his ability.
Amen, amen, amen. My panic or pause this week, not as highly dramatic as your guys's, but it's more so a group rather than a certain player. And it goes towards the Baltimore Ravens. I have just Ravens tight ends in general because Isaiah Likely was kind of the savior of week one for tight ends when it was looking slim. Likely played really, really good. And then it turned out Mark Andrews was just a bust every week. And now Likely is really looking boomer bust. So are we panicking on Ravens tight ends? Because it's looking almost like a committee nowadays. So are guys like Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews still playable guys in fantasy?
I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to say a very, very small panic button because it's interesting because I know Likely only had three catches for 13 yards, but he found the end zone twice.
Mm-hmm.
So if points are going to come, points are going to come. And Andrews, I think, had like 9 points this week or something like that. Like
it's an improvement.
9.5. I mean, that's not obviously what Mark Andrews used to get in. He used to average like 17 a week. But the other thing is I don't think – it was anomaly because the Ravens aren't going to throw the ball as much as they did against Burrow and the Bengals this week because they were down like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that helps Andrews and Likely too. But I'd panic, but like I don't know which one to panic on. Like, yeah. I think Jamie's right. It's a committee, so I'm gonna panic a little bit. The bright side is people are complaining that Mark Andrews isn't contributing to our team, but he's been statistically wise. I don't know how they really track that, but he's been the best blocking tight end in every category this year, which is awesome. So he's doing something out there and not just looking good, I guess.
Him and Kittle switch roles. That's crazy.
Yeah, they did.
Kittle's a number one receiver now, and Mark Andrews is a right tackle.
Yeah.
Maybe we should trade for David Njoku.
How the turns
I'm
table.
Just, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I'm going to panic a little bit because I don't – like, if you're going to start one, which one do you start? Yeah. It's really just a toss-up every week. Clearly, I mean, after week one, me and Lincoln sat here and was like, the Ravens are going to go to likely and big-time decisions. Like, he looks amazing, and then, like, we just stopped using him.
Yep.
And I'm like, what?
What happened?
Why? It's really just a coin flip if you're going to start one.
Who's the third string tight end that had like that?
Charlie Coley.
Yeah, he had like that 60-yard catch and run.
And then he had a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because Andrews, okay, Andrews would have scored a touchdown. Lamar had a bad throw. Lamar knew it, threw it at his ankles. He would have walked in the end zone. So Andrews would have had like 16, 17 this week. So maybe he's turning around. Maybe Mark Andrews is coming back. We'll see that.
But a three tight end committee.
Yeah.
It's a little scary. Yeah.
So I'll panic on it.
Yeah.
Fantasy wise.
I'm going to hit two massive panic buttons. Isaiah Likely, I don't feel like I have the right to panic on because nobody drafted him in the first place. I just picked him up after week one and hoped that he kept valuable. But Mark Andrews, I do have a massive panic button for. His role in that offense was short yardage, third down situations where they needed a catch. And he would rack up 10 catches for like 45 yards. And he'd get into the end zone on those 5-yard plays because they didn't trust Gus Edwards when he was healthy and J.K. Dobbins when he was never healthy in Baltimore for the most part. And Justice Hill, they didn't trust those guys to get into the end zone. But Derrick Henry plays in Baltimore now, and they trust that guy to get into the end zone for good reason. So those red zone targets are few and far between, and they're not going to Mark Andrews consistently enough to make him a fantasy threat. I don't want either of those guys in my lineup. I'd take Cade Otton over both of them. I'd take Cole Kmet over both of them. Mm-hmm. David Njoku's healthy again. I'd take him over both of them. Tucker Kraft, obviously, I'd take over both of them. There's enough tight ends in the league that I would take over them, and that includes like guys who you could probably find on waivers right now, like Colby Parkinson in Los Angeles. I would rather start than these two guys. It's just not an offense conducive to tight end production anymore, and that's probably not going to change for the rest of the season. The Ravens are finding success doing what they're doing, and I don't think it'll be shifted at all. I think it's pretty much going to be you either get 16 to 20 or 3.
Yeah.
And I don't want to play that game, so I'm out on the Ravens tight ends, unfortunately, as talented as they are.
Yeah, I would have to completely agree. I'm hitting my panic button on the Ravens tight ends, my medium one, just because Isaiah Likely's really boom or bust, like I said earlier. He can have those big games. He's the most athletic of the tight ends. He's a big guy. He's going to get those catches. But is the volume going to be there? That's the question. And like I said earlier, a three tight end committee kind of scares me. And will Mark Andrews be once more a part of that offense like he was in years prior? I don't know. So
They look like the fourth and fifth option.
Yeah.
Justice Hill is legitimately higher on the target chain than Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
And Likely. So
exactly. And that scares me. So I'm going to have to be out on Ravens tight ends for the time being. So unless Likely absolutely turns up and just goes off, then maybe I'll change my opinion. But with a committee of tight ends, I just can't really get behind that. So shout out to him, but I'm going to be out on the Ravens tight end. So with that, we're going to be right back with Student Section Fantasy Sports and our must-start and must-sit players for week 6 or 7. I don't know. Whatever. Week 6 of fantasy football. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're back with our week 6 must start and must sit players. So let's get into it with the must starts.
All right, my first must start this week is a running back for the Tennessee Titans. I got Tony Pollard in my must start. He's going up against the Indianapolis Colts this weekend. I don't really like the Colts front seven. I don't like their run-stopping ability. And Pollard has surprisingly been pretty consistent this year, and I feel like nobody's talking about him. He's nothing flashy, but he's let's see what he did just last week. But he's easily dropping.
It's like 16 a game.
Exactly. And what
on that, a bad offense.
That's amazing for probably a lot of people's like RB3, maybe RB2 if you took a lot of receivers early. So I like Pollard as a must-start this week.
All right, I'll start with the running back position as well. It's Chase Brown in Cincinnati. He appears to have wrestled the job away from Zach Moss, or at least a large portion of it. Zach Moss also went down with an injury last week and still nursing it. It's an ankle problem. Not sure if he'll play this week. If he doesn't play this week, obviously Chase Brown is a must start. It's a pretty easy matchup against the Giants. Nothing I'm super worried about there. It's a solid run defense, but not the best in the league. Chase Brown's been explosive the last couple weeks. Last week he had 16 fantasy points. He had 3 catches in that game. A receiving touchdown. He had 23 the week before on 5.3 yards a carry and 2 touchdowns. So they do trust this guy in the red zone, even with Zach Moss on the team. So if he's out this week, obviously start him. If he's not out, I'd still start him. A lot of bye weeks this week, and Chase Brown is an on one. So get him in your lineup.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My first must start this week is a former Roll Tide who has put together a very solid season so far. And that's Jameson Williams of the Detroit Lions, who gets the Dallas Cowboys. Am I tweaking? Oh, I am tweaking. They're on a bye this week, so I'm going to pivot too.
They're on a bye?
Yeah, apparently. Wow.
No, they're not.
Oh, no, they're not. Then NFL is tweaking.
Dallas.
Yeah, they are playing Dallas. Okay, I'm tripping. So Jameson Williams, regardless, I think he gets the Dallas defense, who outside of Trayvon Diggs has a struggling secondary and just defense overall. It's banged up, and even Diggs has been kind of, you know, washed.
He still has so much aura, though. So
yeah,
okay.
He has the aura. He gets interceptions sometimes. So, but even with that, Jameson Williams is a big play threat. Legitimately, every game this season, except for that Week 3 game against Arizona, he's had a big play result in a lot of points. So I think he gets his get back against Dallas, and I think he puts together a very solid game. So definitely a must start for me, JMO.
My second must start was a wide receiver. Well, I guess you can say, I don't even know what the rankings are over in Houston at the wide receiver. But with Nico Collins going on the IR.
Yes, it's finally time.
I have Tank Dell as a must start this week. Yes. I don't even know who they're playing. I didn't need to look at who they're playing.
They play the Patriots because he's on my list.
Well, then
please start him.
That's so more. Free.
So Nico's down. It's just Diggs and Tank. That's kind of a hard... Diggs and Tank. Anyway, yeah, you gotta start Tank Dell this week. I think he's going to go berserk.
Yeah, I'll stay at the wide receiver position, and I will talk Terry McLaurin. Oh. He's finally got a quarterback. He's got a little more than a quarterback. Jaden Daniels is different. McLaurin the last 3 weeks been very consistent, 20, 18, and then 13 last week. He only had 4 catches, but he had 112 yards, so that'll make up for that. The targets are there, 8, 6, 10, and 8 in the last 4 weeks, and he gets the barbecue chicken Baltimore Ravens secondary this week. I do expect the Commanders to be down for most of this game because I don't think there's any shot in the dark that defense contains Derrick Henry, even in the slightest. That run defense has been pretty mid all year. Matter of fact, just start everybody who's playing in this game because it might be 40-38.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zay Flowers counts as well. He plays, I guess, Benjamin St. Juiced this week. So, yeah, Terry McLaurin against Baltimore, that whole game just screams fantasy excellence. Put him in your lineup.
Absolutely. My next must start. I love my defenses. I usually talk a defense every week. And I'm going to incorporate a defense this week, and that is the defense 29 right now. Because the Philadelphia Eagles, as much as I hate them, they do have a pretty booty secondary. So regardless, they get Cleveland this week, who made the Washington Commanders defense look like the 2000s Ravens. So, I mean, if you're any matchup with Cleveland, if you're a defense – should be preferable because Deshaun Watson looks like the worst quarterback that we've seen since Jamarcus Russell.
Where is DTR when you need him?
Yeah, exactly. Where is Dorian Thompson-Robinson? Because they need him. I don't know why they don't start Jameis Winston, because I'm pretty sure he would be an improvement at this point.
At least he'd be entertaining.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I think that would benefit Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, it would.
So I'm going to take this Eagles defense, although it has struggled, not just at times, but all the time. Literally weeks one and two, they scored 0 points total.
They've been horrible.
They've scored 10 points all year, this defense. To put that in perspective, the Denver Broncos defense this week scored 16.
And they've scored over 10 in four games.
Yeah. That is not the Eagles.
Put that in context, you start a game with 10 points in defense.
Yeah. And that's
scored 10 all year.
That's how bad the Eagles defense is. But anybody that's playing the Cleveland defense, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because Cleveland is awful. So if you got the Eagles defense, go ahead and start them.
All right. I guess I'll move on to my first must-sit. And it's kind of a coin flip depending on who starts a quarterback for the Colts this week. Michael Pittman is on a must-sit for me if Flacco does not start.
Yes.
If Anthony Richardson is in the lineup, do not start Michael Pittman because he hasn't touched over 10 points any single week with him. Well, Joe Elite Flacco is throwing the ball. Michael Pittman has been phenomenal. Josh Downs has been phenomenal. The Colts have looked
Alec Pierce better. Has been phenomenal.
So if Flacco is starting quarterback for the Colts, start Pittman. But this is a must-sit segment, so I'm assuming that Richardson's going to be back because he seems anxious to get back in the lineup.
He almost played last week.
You got to bench Pittman because it's not going to go well for him.
Nope.
I agree, and I will start with everyone's favorite segment on the show. Who is Patrick Surtain guarding this week? It's Ladd McConkey for the Chargers. You may be tempted to start him because even against the Chiefs' great defense, he had 5 catches for 67 yards and a touchdown and netted 17.7 fantasy points. He's not doing that this week. He's on the island against Patrick Surtain, and there are no survivors on that island right now. He's been the best defensive player in football outright. He's been the best player in football outright. And I don't expect that to change against Ladd McConkey. Talented receiver, not talented enough to beat Patrick Surtain. Put him on the bench.
Amen. My must-sit this week might be a surprising one. He's the QB3 at the moment, but it's going to be Baker Mayfield versus the New Orleans Saints. Despite the Saints' struggles in the last 3 weeks, that defense has still looked very, very good. And that Buccaneers' offense has looked incredible, but I think it's about time that Baker has that down game. He struggled against Denver, who has been literally shutting everybody down, but New Orleans has also been very, very good defensively. So I'm going to say Baker Mayfield just this week. He gets Baltimore the week after, so he'll be back on track then. So if you got a good quarterback to back up Baker, go ahead and start him.
You guys are just like ripping into the Ravens secondary bad game.
They've had several bad games. I just did not realize the impact that Mike McDaniel was. Mike McDaniel's the Dolphins.
Yes, this week we brought in some old head DC that was good in Baltimore. So
the Seahawks head coach.
Hopefully our defense will get better. But I mean, hey, we locked down the Bills and the Chiefs didn't do anything crazy.
McDonald, that was his name.
Yeah. It was just Devontae Adams and the whole Bengals offense.
Yeah.
But honestly, never mind. I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah, another barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken alert.
Marlon Humphrey's better than Patrick Surtain.
Oh.
All right, just end the
show. So my second must sit, I'm going on the Bucs train. That's Bucky Irving. We don't really know who running back one is in Tampa yet. It's kind of just like a coin flip at this point. They're traveling to New Orleans. Not only has the Saints front seven been great this year, but I'm just going to, with other factors going on, like the hurricane in Florida, Tampa Bay had to leave very early for New Orleans. I think they left, they got out of Tampa on like Tuesday, I think it was, maybe even Monday. So their traveling is off, their practicing is off, and they're playing a good defense. Definitely prayers up for the Tampa community, though, and hope their fans are okay, families, absolutely, everything. But I don't think it's going to go well for the Tampa football team in New Orleans this week either.
Got some bigger things to focus on than a football game. Luckily for them, they're 3-1 at the moment. So 3-2 now, but
they're fine. Yeah.
We'll start. I'll move on to Brian Robinson or Brian Thomas Jr., not Brian Robinson. Brian Thomas Jr. gets the Bears this week. Typically, that'd be a laughingstock. Most years, we would sit here and be like, "Oh, whoopee, he plays the Bears this week," but not this year, not this Bears defense. This is a different Bears defense, and Jalen Johnson is different. Likely the second best cornerback in the league at this current moment. Not everyone's a must sit against him, but Brian Thomas Jr. I think will be. Johnson does like to play island coverage. They tend to move him across the field to match up with wide receiver one. They don't just sit him on one side. Thomas Jr., we've talked about him. He was in the biggest surprises segment. He's great rest of season, and the ceiling will be there. He's a very talented receiver, but not. I don't like it this week against Jalen Johnson and that Bears defense. So I think look elsewhere if you can. If you can't, then start him. But if you got other options, I'd go there.
My next must sit, I'm going to go Rashid Shaheed. He's been fairly consistent this year, except for that goose egg he laid versus Philly of all teams. But without Derek Carr and Spencer Rattler going to be making his first start in the NFL this week against Tampa, who has been decent defensively. I'm not going to say they've been great. They did just let Kirk Cousins nuke him for 500 yards. But regardless, I'm not big on Rashid Shaheed this week. He's going to lose his big play ability, which is what he gets all of his points on, without Derek Carr. So I don't think Rattler is going to be just slinging it through the air his first game.
He did come out and say, I got a notification 20 minutes ago from Sleeper that he said he's going to hyper-target
Chris Olave.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Exactly.
And he said his goal, his philosophy is that if Chris Olave is on the field, I'm going to get him the football.
Exactly.
So actually, maybe start Chris Olave this week if you have him.
Yeah, if Olave is going to get that Garrett Wilson type volume this week, go ahead and start him. But Rashid Shaheed, I would completely fade him this week. He's been consistent all year, but without Derek Carr, I don't see the magic.
It's not the week for the Shaheed train.
Not this week and not next week because he'll be a part of the Who's getting guarded by Pat Surtain. So
that would be Chris Olave. He'll be on next week's list. Y'all wait for that one.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it again.
Next week will be exciting. But
unless Ladd McConkey cooks him on Sunday, then I can't show up.
Yeah, Ladd McConkey 200-yard game incoming. But that's all we got for you guys this week. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We'll see you next Monday night. Peace.